Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and to live toxic free. Because there's toxic chemicals all over the place, in all kinds of consumer products, in the food we eat, in the water we drink. They're in our homes, they're in our bodies, they're in our workplaces, but they're not everywhere. And so what we talk about here is how to identify those toxic chemicals and how to choose all kinds of things without them. And I'm talking to a lot of people every day. All my guests are doing something to make the world a less toxic and more healthy place to live. Today is we're going to talk about food. It is Thursday, April 17th, 2 days after tax day. I got my taxes done. I hope you did too. And we're going to be talking about the paleo diet. But more importantly, because if you've been reading my website and reading my food blog at toxicfreekitchen.com, you know that I've been on a paleo diet and it's made a huge amount of difference in my body. Even though I was eating pretty well, pretty healthy, pretty organic before I started this diet, just the exact specifications of those foods that I was eating and more importantly, probably the foods I stopped eating, made a difference in my weight, my blood sugar, my energy level, everything. So I'm very interested in keeping going with this and making it really work for me and to have it available for other people. My guest today is she's a recipe developer, food photographer, public speaker. She's got 3 cookbooks about the paleo diet, and the reason I had her on today is not just about the paleo diet, but because she's written a book called Make Ahead Paleo, which is all about how you manage to get all this food preparation done in your busy life. And I think that that's one of the most important things that people need to understand how to do. I know I've had to figure out how to make things ahead, how to have food be ready when I want to eat. And she's got lots of tips, lots of recipes that you can make ahead, lots of ideas about how you can arrange your kitchen and your life so you can take charge of preparing healthy food. Her name is Tammy Credicott. She's the author of Make Ahead Paleo, Paleo Indulgences, The Healthy Gluten-Free Life, and her website is thehealthygflife.com. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Now, first, I want you to tell us, me included, how did you become interested in the paleo diet?
It was by force from my husband. I never know how far back to start. We thought we were living, we've been married for 15 years and, you know, 10 plus years ago, we were working out at the gym and eating our low fat chicken breast and oatmeal and all that good, you know, weightlifting type food that we thought was healthy. And I continually gained weight over the years. You know, nothing really seemed to work. I was getting more and more exhausted. Now, granted, I had 2 kids in there too, so that always helps a little bit with the tiredness. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
So, you know, we thought we were doing really well. We kept going down this path of trying to make better choices, and I'd kind of take one thing at a time, like, you know, trans fats, and then looking at organic, and we kind of just step by step, and we felt like we were doing pretty good. And then both the kids were really young, and my husband was not feeling well. And over the course of about 6 months, he lost a lot of weight very quickly, like 30, 35 pounds, wow. Which he didn't have to lose. He's mm-hmm. a very tall, muscular, lean guy, and he didn't really have much to lose. Lost a lot of weight very quickly. He was very pale. And one of the big things for me was he got sick constantly. Mm-hmm. And the whole time we'd been married, he'd never even had so much as a cold. So I knew something was going on, and he was complaining about his stomach hurting every time he ate oatmeal for breakfast. And I told him, "You're crazy. Oatmeal's so benign. That's what they give babies. You know, it's, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it's one of the most benign things you can eat." And, you know, just didn't know. And he kept saying it. And so he was doing research, and he's like, "I think there might be something going on." So he was lucky. He, you know, from start to finish, it was probably 6 months that he was diagnosed with celiac disease. Some people go decades before the doctors figure out what's going on with them.
Let me just ask you, I want to hear the rest of your story, but I want to interrupt for a second because I think a lot of people don't know what celiac disease is or how they might be recognizing it. What's going on with them?
The recognition part is actually very hard, which is why some people can go, you know, 20 years before anyone goes, oh, hey, maybe we should test for that. It's the symptoms vary so widely depending on the person. But, you know, in a nutshell, it's an autoimmune disease. And in this instance, your body is attacking your small intestines every time you eat gluten. You don't have the proper the gluten kind of it's abrasive to their stomach, to their mm-hmm. to their intestines, and it rubs down that the villi, the little hair-like follicles down there that absorb all the nutrients. And so you end up having nutrient deficiencies, which can lead to all kinds of symptoms.
Yeah.
And it can lead to leaky gut, where the food that you're eating, the larger particles are not being digested properly, and it actually seeps through the lining and into the bloodstream. And in that case, again, you can have lots of symptoms. More importantly, neurological issues. It can actually cross that blood-brain barrier, which causes huge problems for a lot of people. So it's an autoimmune disease. Your body's attacking itself. It thinks that gluten is the enemy, and so when you eat it, it's causing inflammation in the lower intestines. So
good. Thank you.
And it can be anything. You know, some people have more stereotypical symptoms like diarrhea, stomach cramps. If they ingest gluten, they end up in the bathroom, and those are kind of the stereotypical symptoms. But over the years, I've found that they're actually not that typical. It's just really widespread. For example, my two daughters also have celiac disease, a 9 and 12 year old, and all three of them are completely different. If my husband gets gluten accidentally, you know, his mood, he starts having stomach problems within 24 hours. He ends up in the bathroom. Then his mood just tanks into this severe depression and like completely not himself for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting process. My oldest, she gets more hyperactive. She doesn't seem to have the stomach issues, but she can get more hyperactive, and her verbal communication declines. That's been something. It affects her brain more.
Mm-hmm.
And then my youngest, it affects her sleep and her skin and her mood. She gets very whiny and crying and just not like herself. So it's kind of interesting. They're definitely all different. But for my husband,
yeah.
Having the stomach issues and not feeling well that way with the stomach every day, and went in for blood tests, and he was so off the charts, you know, testing positive for antibiotics and all this stuff, that we saw no need to go in and do a biopsy, which is, you know, right now the gold standard in determining a positive for celiac disease. So everybody.
So you got your diagnosis, and then what happened?
We got the diagnosis, and I cried for about a month, and because I was a baker. I loved to bake my whole life. That was, you know, I had dreams of having a bakery and things like that. So I was really upset, and part of it was because I saw him not feeling well. I saw that he was sick, and I knew that we needed to heal his gut and get some, you know, meat back on his bones. And all my tricks of comfort foods that I would have normally made wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a little helpless. And it took me about a month to get over that, and, you know, trying separate meals for the kids and I and him. And I just realized it wasn't working. He was getting cross-contamination because of, you know, breadcrumbs or pasta stuck to strainers and that sort of thing. So we made the leap, and all of us decided to go gluten-free. And about the same time, my oldest was going through some issues as well. My kids have gone through severe dark circles under the eyes, eczema, ADD diagnosis, night terrors, you know, all these different symptoms that at the time we had no idea why they were happening. But once we started researching the food for my husband, all the light bulbs went off, and it was very obvious that we had a lot of food related issues going on in the family. So,
So
we decided, you know what, it'll help the kids. And while I wasn't having any symptoms of any sort, it certainly couldn't help, because gluten-free is healthy. Well, you know, it is if you choose healthier foods, but we kind of did the norm and went into the let's replace everything.
Well, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. We need to take a break now. We're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Tammy Credicut. She's the author of Make Ahead Paleo and other paleo cookbooks, and we're going to be talking about the paleo diet, and how you can possibly prepare all this food yourself at home. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My name is Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today my guest is Tammy Credicott. Am I saying that right, Tammy?
Yes, you got it. Perfect.
Good. And she's the author of Make Ahead Paleo, which is a great cookbook. It's so beautiful, the cookbook, just to look at. Did you take all these photos?
Oh, thank you. I did, yes. I'm learning as I go.
Not only are the recipes luscious, but the photos are beautiful. And this particular cookbook, instead of just having a list of recipes at the beginning, it has in the table of contents is little thumbnail pictures of all the dishes, and so that you can look and see. And one of the things that I like about the recipes in this book is that they really are paleo versions of things that you would like to eat anyway. They're not strange. And this is one of the, well, this is actually has been a problem for me in the past when I go and I read, you know, this diet or that diet, and then the recipes are just inedible to me. I just can't envision myself eating them. But I can envision myself eating every one of these recipes. And while I haven't tried any yet, only from lack of time and sometimes lack of ingredients, I have gone through your entire book and put post-it notes on half the pages about it's like more not, it's not about I can't find a recipe I want to try. It's that I want to try so many of them, I can't decide which one to try first.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah. And let me tell you, listeners, that she's got things in here like waffles that I thought I was never going to eat again. And that would be, I love waffles. I used to have waffles, wheat waffles, every morning for breakfast, smothered with butter and drenched in maple syrup, which it was probably not the best thing for me. But I love waffles, and I would have made them the day I got this book, except I don't have a waffle iron. I need to get a waffle iron.
Oh,
and
yes,
then
you do.
I am going to make these waffles. And so she knows how to make everything. And, I can't wait to try these. There's just, you know, anyway, I'll talk about more of those later. First, I want you to describe, I've been doing so much research about paleo in the last couple months, and I know that everybody has kind of a slightly different version of paleo. So explain what your version of paleo is and why.
Well, that's a really good question, actually. It's kind of hard to put into words. Our philosophy is real food. And, you know, with my husband and daughters having celiac disease, we walk this very interesting line sometimes. Our lives started in the gluten-free community. Mm-hmm. And then, which is actually my first book, is not paleo, the healthy gluten-free life. It's gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free. It was made for multiple allergies because that's what we were going through at the time. And then over time with my husband, he still wasn't feeling great. Gluten-free wasn't good enough. We were still eating 80% gluten-free grains and sugar. And that's when he found the paleo diet and started feeling better. And we all jumped on board and started feeling better immediately. So gluten-free made us feel better, but paleo made the big difference. And for us, we think
For me too.
Yeah, I think primarily it was because of getting rid of the grains and the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think you had mentioned earlier, it's not so much what you do eat, it's what you get rid of that can show some of the most improvement.
Yes.
And so for us, you know, we've been doing it for a few years now, and it morphs and changes depending on where we're at. My husband is still healing his gut, so he tends to be, he can't eat all the paleo foods. You know, coconut does not agree with him, nuts,
mm-hmm.
some things that a lot of people really rely heavily on in the paleo world. So, and he still can't do eggs. So we kind of work around those parameters, and when we travel and stuff, we have to keep them safe from cross-contamination in restaurants. So we might not be quite strict paleo at those times because you can't just get a bunless burger. You know, we're looking at safety first. So it's kind of an interesting line that we walk between the paleo world and the gluten-free world. Because they're not the same. Gluten-free community tends to want to replicate the sweets and treats that they've had before and focus on that. The paleo community is more interested in health and, you know, eating whole, real foods and not replacing everything. Although you can find many recipes that duplicate. But it's not, excuse me, not the priority.
Yeah, I think that I've seen that too. I had Sally Fallon Morrell was on last week from the Western Price Foundation, and I actually started more with that kind of orientation before I ever got to paleo. But the problem that I was having doing the Western Price diet was, number one, I did have some sensitivities, and so to try to do the Western Price diet as written, I felt like I had to, you know, that you can eat wheat, you can eat eggs, you know, I mean, all foods are included on that
right,
diet.
Right, sprouted grains.
Yeah, all those kinds of things, sweeteners. And I thought, well, I'll just eat this diet, but in fact, my body can't eat all those foods. And it wasn't until I actually talked to her person to person last week that I really understood that, and she even said this, she said that all these foods are allowed on the diet, but that doesn't mean you have to eat them all.
Exactly.
And I think that there is, that there's some paleo, that is kind of a cross. I think my diet is a cross between the real foods of the Western Price diet and, the paleo eliminations.
I think that's very common. There's a lot of crossover there. A lot of the paleo community still does some sprouted grains, if they can tolerate it. You know, we have done some sprouted buckwheat occasionally, and everyone seems to be just fine with that. I felt fine afterwards, but I'm still working on my overall health. And I have still weight loss to work on and that sort of thing. So that tells me I'm not completely healed of whatever I have going on. It's just one big experiment, really. So
I think that if people just focus on the real food, what I'm getting down to is just start with the Weston A. Price Foundation diet.
Great.
The real food of it. And then if you need to eliminate something, if you decide that your body needs to eliminate grains or if you need to eliminate eggs or whatever it is, then you just keep eliminating until your body goes, ah, that's it. This is it. This is what makes me feel good. This is what makes my blood sugar down. This is what makes me lose weight when I could never lose it before.
Exactly.
And I think then you have this list of foods. It's your list of foods. And then the question is, what are you going to do with it? Which we'll talk about when we come back from the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Tammy Credicott, author of Make Ahead Paleo, and her website is thehealthygflife.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Tammy Credicott. She's the author of Make Ahead Paleo, and we're talking about how you can prepare all this food, whether you're on the paleo diet or some other diet where you are preparing all your food instead of eating packaged, processed foods or takeout or restaurant food, but really fixing real food at home. Now we're going to talk about how you can actually get that done. But first I want to say, I keep browsing through her cookbook, Make Ahead Paleo, during the breaks. And I know the first thing I'm going to make is, I'm trying to decide between the English muffins and the pizza crust.
those are two popular ones, yes.
So, you know, it's like when you've been gluten-free for a while, like I've been totally gluten-free since last June. And what happened for me was my doctor said, why don't you go on let's just try a gluten-free diet. And I had been on gluten-free diets before. And I said, all right. And, you know, it's like I like to be simple. And so I say, well, I'm not going to do all those replacement things. I'm not going to make everything out of tapioca starch. You know, I want to eat real foods. And so I would just eat salad and I'd eat meat and I'd go, but I want an English muffin. I want a pizza, you know. So it's really good to be able to see that there are ways to do these things and that you've worked these things all out for us is just, I'm very grateful. And I'm sure a lot of other people are too.
I'm very happy when the English muffins turned out, let me tell you. I had that one in my head for a while, and I was just like, I don't know if I can do that one grain-free, but I was really pleased with the results of that one.
Because
English muffins are so versatile. I mean, you can use that for sandwiches. You can use it for little pizzas. You can use it for breakfast. You have breakfast sandwiches on the go. They're just so versatile.
And you can just eat them with butter because they're so good.
Yeah, just loads of grass-fed butter.
Yes. And put honey on them. Oh, there's all kinds of things. Okay. Well, my problem was that I I ran out of almond flour, but I just ordered some. I always wait until it goes on sale, and then I order almond flour, and I ordered some this morning. So we're going to have more bakers.
I was going to say, Honeyville is one of the brands that I like, and they have 15% off right now. I think it ends
right
today.
Now. I think it ends today, too, yeah. I just got an email from them. I was waiting for that 15% off. So tell us just start at the beginning with this information that you have in your book about how to organize so that you can always have some good food on the table.
Well, I think, you know, the biggest complaint that I've heard from people living a paleo lifestyle, especially those starting, is it takes a long time to prepare food because you're not grabbing any of those convenience box items. You're making everything from scratch, and it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would debate on the expensive part. Good quality meats are more expensive, but when you're not buying sodas and chips and donuts and all of those extra little things, that adds up too. And I don't find that I spend any more. The only place that I spend a little extra is on the organic, local, grass-fed meats. Mm-hmm. So the big thing is the preparation. You know, I live the life. I've got two kids in school and activities, and I work full time. My husband works full time, and we both have, you know, crazy, we're self-employed. So we have crazy hours and not just an 8-to-5 kind of a thing. So I totally get that it can be hard. But you know, you have to want it. You can't just assume that I'm going to be lazy and come home from work and then somebody's just going to magically make my dinner for me, although that would be really awesome.
You know, I just like to, before you go on, I just want to say something about that, because last night I went out to dinner, and since I started the paleo diet, like at the end of January, I think it was, I think this is only the second time I've eaten out in a restaurant.
And
well, I noticed that my stomach didn't feel as well this morning, but here's the thing that was interesting to me is that my awareness level has shifted, because before I would say, well, here what's on my plate is a salad and there's some chicken, and I went to a restaurant that I hadn't checked out their ingredients, but in the past I would look at it and I would say, well, this isn't out of a can. Here's fresh lettuce, here's fresh tomatoes, here's fresh guacamole, here's, you know, chicken fajitas on top, and I'm not eating corn chips, and I'm not eating, you know, tamales with corn on them and stuff like that.
Which is a great first step for most people.
Yeah, and that was a step that I did for a long time, but I'm sitting there eating and I'm going, oh, this is delicious. And I suddenly went, gee, I wonder if there's any sugar in this.
Right.
Gee, I wonder if there's this.
Yeah, what oils did they use?
Oils did they use? Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it was like, I didn't used to ask myself those questions. I used to think, you know, I'm cooking well for myself at home, and I'm eating organic food, and I know which oils and what kind of salt I'm using and stuff. And then last night, it was just suddenly like, I ate it, and then I went, wait, I don't want to eat this.
When you finally put your body and your health as a number one priority, and you know what it's like to finally feel good, that's a big one. I don't think that the majority of people remember what it's like to feel good, because I think we've been bombarded our whole lives, so most people have never felt great.
Well, that was what happened, is I went on this paleo diet, and I went, oh my God, I haven't felt this good.
Yeah,
you know,
it's amazing, and you just want to shout from the rooftops and annoy everybody with all of it, but it's true.
Yeah.
It is true, definitely.
And then I walk around, you know, out in the world, and I see people eating all this stuff, and they're a million pounds overweight, and they're shooting their insulin at the restaurant table, and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm going, just eat differently. Please eat differently.
Yeah, it's really not hard, and you'll feel amazing, and it'll be great. And it's funny, once you get your body off that heightened, I think everybody's kind of at this high level of, you know, inflammation, and your body's constantly dealing with everything we're throwing at it, environmentally, food. And then when you finally get a lot of that stuff out and your body calms down a little bit, then it's those little things like eating out that you go, oh, that didn't used to bother me, but now I don't feel my best. I don't feel horrible, but I don't feel my best. And that's what I've noticed over the years, is I'm able to identify and be more body aware because things have calmed down, and I can actually identify those things now. Before, it was just part of the whole mess going on.
I can actually feel like I had so much inflammation go down on those 30 days on just the really restricted paleo diet, that when I ate something, I think I ate honey or something, it was just like, there's inflammation.
Yeah, you know? And honey has some great, especially if you buy it local where you are, has some great health benefits. However, it is high in fructose. So a lot of people who have issues metabolizing and using glucose, you know, for energy and that sort of thing, and switching to the fat-burning side of the paleo diet, honey doesn't work for them. You know, we don't use a lot of honey in our house just for that reason. It tends to spike our blood sugar and restart some of those cravings and cycles.
Yeah, so when you really take out the sweeteners, then your body can go into that fat burning, we're going to live on fat now instead of sugar. And then you start putting the sugar back, or, you know, then it, and you get out of that mode. And I can see the difference now. We need to go to another break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My name's Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Tammy Criticott. She's the author of Make Ahead Paleo. Her website is healthygflife.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Tammy Criticott, author of Make Ahead Paleo. Her website is thehealthygflife.com. And Tammy, I think the number three thing I'm going to make is lemon coconut loaf. This looks so luscious.
So good. I love anything.
Yeah, I do too. And it's made with coconut flour and almond flour, and it's only got a little bit of maple syrup in it.
Yeah.
And it just looks on the page like a luscious piece of cake.
Awesome. Yeah, it was. And it freezes really well. Everything, all the baked goods and things in the book freeze really well. So that's why they were included. So I'm big on the freezer.
Well, tell us more about some of the things that you do to make your food preparation easier.
The first thing I try to teach people, I call it my three P's. And like I said, you have to want to commit to making your meals at home. And once you're there, you actually have to plan a little bit. And it doesn't take very long, especially once you get used to it and you start cycling through some of your favorite recipes. But the first one is planning. And it depends on your schedule. We used to do a monthly menu because I didn't want to mess with it. We were busy, and I never wanted to come home at 5 o'clock at night and ask, okay, what are we going to do for dinner? Because that's the time that everything falls apart.
If
you already know what you're going to have and you have it planned out, even if you don't really want it, once you've made it and you've sat down and you're eating it, you're not going to think, oh, well, I didn't really want that very much. But at the end of it, you're going to think, wow, I'm glad I did that because, you know, I didn't eat out and I didn't grab a bag of chips. So planning for sure. And for most people, I suggest starting off with a weekly menu. It's a little less intimidating. If your tastes change often, each week you can plan some different recipes. And from that menu, you can do everything from just plan your dinners. We tend to cycle through that's kind of the same breakfast and lunches.
So what do you have for breakfast? Well, tell us about breakfast.
I rotate through various proteins, anywhere from pork tenderloin that I cut up into small pieces that cook quickly. That's another trick. Small pieces of meat cook very quickly. If you don't want to cook a whole chicken breast, cut it up into bite-sized pieces. I cycle through that. We have bacon, a good quality local bacon once a week. I'll do some organic local sausage as well. Sometimes, depending on the day, I will also put a large roast in the crock pot at night when I go to bed. And then after 8 hours, it's ready in the morning. And it's really good with eggs next to it.
So
we try not to do eggs every day because we do have some food intolerances and we have to kind of cycle through and not eat the same thing every day while everybody's getting better. But
yeah,
so if you want to plan the breakfast thing, we tend to cycle through the same. So I usually just list my dinners and side dishes. And from that, you make your shopping list and you go through, you know, any pantry items, any fresh stuff, and then any proteins and things that you need. And from there, you got to go get it. But if you've spent the time to do your weekly plan and make your grocery list, then the shopping goes really easy. I mean, shopping in a paleo lifestyle has been the easiest thing I've ever done. I'm in and out. I there's no reading labels because you're not really getting much with labels.
I find that too. Yeah, it's like I have my list now of foods, and these are the foods that I know that I can eat. And I just go into the natural food store and I buy them.
Yeah.
And
you go around the edge of the store there
and
very quick.
And I don't get like pulled into, you know, cookies or, you know, whatever. I just go in and I buy my real foods and I leave and then I come home and do things with them. I cook things ahead. Like I cook chicken. There's things I always want to make sure are in the refrigerator. And
Which
one of them
final
is chicken.
That's my final key, preparation, preparing. Yeah. That's exactly. I'm a big proponent of taking a few extra minutes here and there. If I'm making something for dinner, say it's we're going to have spaghetti squash with a tomato sauce, I will double my tomato sauce so that I can have dinner that night and the rest goes in the freezer so that at another time I can just pull it out. Same thing with chopping an onion. If I need that to cook with the chicken that night, I chop two onions. I throw the other into a freezer container, I stick it in the freezer, and then I have it. Frozen onions are great to add to scrambled eggs or other dishes that you're sautéing, and you don't have to take the time later on. If you do that all the time and take a few seconds here and there to double up on things, pretty soon your freezer is stocked. It doesn't take long. And then you always have things to pull from, including if you're, you know, chicken or anything like that, grill. Instead of grilling, you know, one or two for dinner, grill the whole package that you have and let it cool, freeze it, and then you can chop it up for salads or stir fries or anything that you want to throw together. That's a huge one. And it just takes a little different mindset. Instead of racing through and getting the minimum done, you know, just add a little extra time here and there.
And I've also found that instead of thinking about how am I going to make a big new recipe each day or every couple of days, I do have those basic things. Like I always have cooked chicken is always there. And the game becomes, how am I going to make this chicken taste different tonight?
Right. And I'm another thing I talk about a little bit is having your favorite spice blends on hand so that you can transform meals into different flavors. You know, I have like a taco seasoning, an Italian seasoning, and then a basic dry rub that I can use on any meat. And those are kind of my basics that I always go back to. I can mix and match other spices with it to change it, or I can use it to, you know, alter a meal that I'm making. So find those blends that you really like. And, you know, if you're looking for more than even what I have in the book, there's tons of them out there. If you like, you know, more of a Greek style, then you can combine, or more of an Asian flair, get some Chinese five spice in there. So it's a good idea to have some spice blends. And then you can just sprinkle it on and then your meal's transformed and you didn't really have to do anything. I'm lazy in the kitchen.
I am too. It's like I love to cook, and there are times if I really have the time or if it's a special occasion, I'll really make something special. But I'm really looking for how can I do a 5-minute meal? 30-minute meals are too long for me. Yeah. I need to get in the kitchen and put something on a plate and eat it, but I want it to be really good. And so making sure that I have things there in order to choose from and knowing what I'm doing. I think a lot of it is education too, like figuring out like what are the foods that you really like to eat? Like I love Chinese food, and the more I think about it, and my brother was just talking to me the other day. He said, "Oh, just put some oyster sauce in it." Well, you know, it's in oyster sauce.
usually.
Well, besides gluten, there's refined sugar, refined salt, sodium benzoate. I mean, it's just a horrible list. And I thought, well, you go into any Chinese restaurant, they're putting oyster sauce in things.
Yeah.
And it just made me not want to go to a Chinese restaurant. But yet I grew up in San Francisco on Chinese food. You know, I want to eat Chinese food. And so I'm making my own Chinese recipes.
Yeah, you can get, you know, just changing some of those spices, you can get some amazing flavors. And it's I think spices would be, if one person just wanted to change one thing about their home cooking to make it better and more accessible and more entertaining for their family, it would be learn spices. Go online, get some books, whatever you need to do to change, you know, learn some spice blends and things that work well together. Because you can change anything at that point. So.
Yeah, we have here where I live, we have a couple of different spice shops that have so many spices, and you can go in there and you can smell them and taste them. And I spent like an hour in a spice shop once, and I came out with about 25 different little bags, and I could really just play with them and see what I like and then go back and get them.
Yeah.
So we only have a few minutes left. Would you just tell us something about, takeaway foods? Like, what do you send with your children to school? for lunch?
My kids, gosh, they eat just about anything. And, you know, in the book I have an on-the-go section, and we kind of pull from that one a lot. It's things that are quick and easy and travel well. You know, that's the key. School years are typically over the winter months, so we use the thermos a lot. Today they took steak bites. We cut up some steak and sauteed it in coconut oil, and then I have, you know, it's a tomato-based sauce that I add some spices to, and they are able to dip it in the sauce, and they love it. And
that sounds great.
Yeah, we're big on that, and they like, you know, like coleslaws with added protein, and a pasta salad is a big one, deviled eggs, you know, just anything we can throw together. And we were doing little ham roll-ups a lot, ham with some avocado and veggies in there, and rolled it up. And after about a year, they were like, please don't get me another roll-up, Mom. So we've been varying it a little bit.
Well, variety is really important to not get bored. It really is, to be able
to. Yeah, my husband could eat the same thing every single day and be fine. I need something different all the time. So it's just, it's kind of interesting how every person is a little bit different. So
yeah. What I do is that I find something that I want to eat, and I go, oh, this is delicious, and then I want to eat it tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, and then all of a sudden I go, time for something new.
I'm done now.
Or I find that, like last week, I was eating this, oh my God, gorgeous tahini dressing I was making, and then I thought, you know what? I think there's probably something in this that isn't ideal for me as much as I love it. And so now I'm finding the next thing. But that tahini dressing is going to come out again, but maybe I won't eat it every day for a week.
Tahini makes a great added ingredient in baked goods, keeping them moist without adding, changing the flavor.
Yeah.
I have tahini blondies in the book that they're definitely a family favorite. I mean, I have to make them all the time and keep the freezer stocked.
Oh, good. I'm going to try those too. Well, I have to say goodbye now because the show's going to be over in about 15 seconds. But thank you so much, Tammy.
Thank you so much. That went by so fast.
It does go by really fast. And I mean, an hour sounds like a long time, but it goes by really fast. Thank you so much. Her book is Make Ahead Paleo. Her website is thehealthygflife.com. And everybody try it.